Blog Talk Radio.
Internet world, welcome to the Cross in the Desert, speaking hope and freedom to Iran. I'm your host, Randy L. Noble, and thank you once again for taking time out of your very busy schedule in life to join me on the radio broadcast this morning. Today is Monday, September 23rd. We are in the fall here in Florissant with the leaves falling off the tree. The temperatures are starting to change. Fall is in the air. And what that means for me is cleaning out gutters again all winter long. Today on the program, I want to examine the tough new sanctions against Iran that is absolutely designed to paralyze their economic situation as if it already wasn't bad enough already. And what will this mean for the Iranian people who are suffering so much already under a dictatorship government, and here comes more sanctions. For those people that I'm friends with, for those people that struggle every day under this oppression, my heart goes out to them, yet I understand why President Trump is doing this. It was one step away from going to war or more tough sanctions, and he's using magnificent restraint in not getting involved in another war, and I know something about this president and his administration. They are very resilient to handle the situation with the best of care. And I know they think about the needs of the Iranian people. Trump in the past, when he first became president, after he tore up the Iranian deal, spoke out on Twitter and all over the media in support of the Iranian people. So I know that this crippling sanction is designed to bring this regime to its knees. And hopefully, in such a weakened position, the Iranian people can overcome them. And democracy and freedom can very soon one day come to my dear friends in Iran. I want you to hear about the method for these sanctions and why they were done after the supposed attack on the Saudi oil field. I want you to hear this special report now on the reason for the sanctions.
An act of war. Those are the words of Secretary of State Mike Pompeo speaking about what he called Iran's attack on a Saudi oil facility. President Trump is ordering new sanctions on Iran as his top diplomat, Secretary Pompeo, continues to meet throughout the region. Correspondent Benjamin Hall reports tonight from our Middle East newsroom.
The pressure on Iran is mounting. Today, Saudi Arabia laid out evidence they say proved Iran was behind the attacks, displaying cruise missiles and drones they claim were used. Shortly afterwards, Secretary Pompeo flew to Jeddah to discuss the next steps with the Crown Prince, while U.S. investigators collected evidence on the ground at the attack site. He accused Iran of acts of terrorism and war and risking the global energy supply.
There were requests that there were no Americans killed in this attack, but any time you have an act of war of this nature, there's always risk that that could happen.
In the U.S., President Trump has also ramped up the pressure, saying he had instructed the Treasury to substantially increase sanctions on Iran and warning of further action.
There's the ultimate option, and their options are a lot less than that.
Saudi Arabia's defense minister said 18 drones and 7 cruise missiles were fired from the north, though they were still working to discover the exact launch point, and he called on allies to back them against the threat.
Iran's continued aggression, sponsorship of terrorist groups, and interference in maritime commerce represent a common threat to us all.
The Iranians continue to deny involvement, saying the Yemeni Houthi rebels were defending themselves and that they don't want war, but adding they would retaliate to any attack.
To Saudi Arabia, the Emirates, America, certain European countries, and the Zionist regime, which started the war in this region.
Saudi Arabia says 50% of the oil production cut by the attack has now been restored, calming the markets and easing fears that emergency reserves need to be used. But few believe the threat has gone.
The fact that Iran was able to bypass billions of dollars of Saudi Arabian air defenses and strike seemingly at ease at the largest oil facility in the world, well, that is now the grave concern. And certainly Saudi Arabia and the U.S. will be discussing ways of bolstering those defenses. But other ways in which Saudi and the U.S. can respond, well, they remain to be seen.
If you look at the trend of what's been going on in the past several months, it was not too long ago, I don't know the exact date, when Iran shot down one of our drones. And Trump, after a lot of heavy thinking, considerations, options on this matter, said, look, you know, it was an unmanned drone. I could retaliate with a missile attack against one of their sites, but if I killed 150 men when our plane was unmanned, he weighed the options and said, no, I'm not going to do it. And then the Iranians began, of course, confiscating, attacking ships in the Straits of Hormuz, holding British tankers hostage for a time. And so they have ramped up their efforts to do everything they can to antagonize us because – the sanctions are having such a profound effect. And this is the way they believe they can get us to the table for talks. Well, however, what they have been doing for the past 40 years, the Islamic Republic of Iran has done nothing but stretch its tentacles across the region into the Middle East to commit acts of terrorism. And until they cease and desist from terrorism, Trump refuses to meet with them. Now, what is the chance they're going to cease, desist, and not support terrorism? Well, you guessed it. They're never going to do that. I want you to hear one more soundbite, and this is Trump as he's meeting with the Australian Prime Minister this past weekend, what he had to say about the new sanctions. Let's listen.
If I may intercede for just a second, we have just sanctioned the Iranian National Bank. That is their central banking system, and it's going to be at the highest level of sanctions. So that just took place, and a couple of other things. We have our Secretary of Treasury here, Steve Mnuchin, if you want to say just a word, Steve, before we begin.
Mr. President, as you instructed me, we are continuing the maximum pressure campaign. This is the last remaining source of funds, so both the Central Bank of Iran, as well as the National Development Fund, which is their sovereign wealth fund, will be cut off from our banking system. So this will mean no more funds going to the RRGC or to fund terror, and this is on top of our oil sanctions and our financial institution sanctions. Thank you, Mr. President. This is very big. We've now cut off all source of funds to Iran.
It goes all the way up to the very top?
That does.
The president?
Right to the top.
The Prime
Right to the top. Okay? Yes. Right to the top. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. So we're dealing with many nations. We're dealing with some of the neighbors to Saudi Arabia, and of course we're dealing with Saudi Arabia. Saudi Arabia is very much involved from the standpoint of what we're doing and what they're doing, and we're working together with others. We're also working on the cost of this whole endeavor, and Saudi Arabia has been very generous. We want to see if it works out, and if it works out, that's great, and if it doesn't work out, that's great. In the end, it always works out. That's the way it is. It always works out. So you'll be seeing certain things happening, but a very major factor is what we did. These are the highest sanctions ever imposed on a country. We've never done it to this level. And it's too bad what's happening with Iran. It's going to hell, doing poorly. They're practically broke. They are broke. And they could solve the problem very easily. All they have to do is stop with the terror. They have been the number one, as you know, Scott, very well, number one country worldwide of terror, between sponsoring it and doing it themselves. And we can't have it. They have a tremendous potential. They have an incredible potential. I can speak on behalf of Australia, too, in the sense that we'd like to see them do very well. We were discussing it before, the Prime Minister and myself. We want to see them to do well, but it looks to me like with what's happening, maybe they want to keep going at it. And when they go at it with us, there's no way they win. No way they win in any way or in any capacity. So
that is President Trump in a very, very straightforward message. And this week is supposed to be speeches at the United Nations. And Rouhani, the president of Iran, usually comes to the United Nations every year during this weekend. It's questionable whether he will attend. Some of the news reports were about visa problems. Others were about his reluctance to want to be anywhere near President Trump in New York City. So we will see exactly what goes on this week and how that all works out. But you know, what has been happening here has been going on for 40 years. And in our book, Dear God, Please Bring Freedom to Iran, Manoush and I wrote about the 40 years. What is the future of Iran? This is the year of the 40th anniversary of the implementation of the Islamic Republic of Iran. And everyone remembers their history lesson. Back on February 1st, 1979, millions of desperate Iranians filled the streets of Tehran welcoming their new king from exile. That is the Ayatollah Khomeini. He stepped down from a 747 jumbo jet that just had arrived at the airport from Paris and proclaimed himself as the new leader of the Islamic Revolution. What has been going on for 40 years? Well, let me tell you. It's been 40 long and cruel years of oppression under a dictatorship that has replaced freedom with slavery to an ancient system of Sharia law. There has been 40 years of lies and deception, 40 years of suppression of human rights with no religious freedom and no freedom of speech, 40 years of execution as the penalty for speaking out and disagreeing with the government, 40 years of women being covered and veiled and lashed for failure to adhere to the Islamic dress code, 40 years of the reign of the mullahs and the ayatollahs who rule your life from the cradle to the grave. It was during the spring, or during the winter, I should say, of 2017, when Iran protesters, under the pressure, feeling the brunt of these sanctions and what was happening, took to the streets in 70 cities demanding that the government of Iran get out of Syria and start taking care of them instead. And there was a haunting chant that could be heard that which summed up the angry mood of the people. The people are paupers while the mullahs live like God. And the Iranian economy has been in a death spiral due to the new sanctions and now these increased sanctions. It's even going to get worse. But let me bring to your attention something that's very important. The Bible has a lot to say about the coming meltdown in the Middle East. And I've done programs in the past. Jeremiah chapter 49 is a very pivotal prophecy about the future of Iran, talking about Elam. and talking about what's going to happen in the future. And I want to discuss this morning in the remaining minutes that I have on the broadcast a very pivotal scripture that I've talked about before. Ezekiel chapter 38, which has to do with the latter days, the last days. I don't believe this prophecy has been fulfilled. And it has to do with the coming meltdown in the Middle East involving Iran as well. And I just want to quote a few sentences from this prophecy, and then I want us to hear Jimmy DeYoung, a very inept, very well-versed Bible scholar who's going to explain this. Ezekiel chapter 38 is very, very pivotal. It says, "This is another message that came to me from the Lord. Son of man, turn and face Gog of the land of Magog, the prince who rules over the nations of Meshech and Tubal, and prophesy against him. Give him this message from the sovereign Lord. Gog, I am your enemy. I will turn you around and put hooks in your jaws to lead you out with your whole army, your horses and charioteers in full armor, and a great horde armed with shields and swords. Persia, Ethiopia, and Libya will join you too with their weapons. Gomer and all its armies will also join you, along with the armies of Beth Togarmah from the distant north and many others. There will be a coalition of nations with one goal in mind in the latter days, in the days to come, to attack and destroy Israel. And one of those nations is Iran." I want you to hear Bible expert and prophetic expert Jimmy DeYoung tell us more about this very important passage in Ezekiel chapter 38.
And Jimmy, as a journalist, you've covered the Middle East since 1991. And as you look at what's happening in the world and what the Bible is teaching about what happens after the rapture takes place, when Christians are out of here, Ezekiel 38, we've been talking in past weeks about specific nations that God says are going to form a coalition and come against Israel. And we've been saying some of those nations are on the horizon right now. We can see this shaping up. Finish this up. Summarize what Ezekiel 38 is talking about in terms of future events, because it'll tell us how close we are to those.
You know what's interesting when you study the book of Ezekiel? Those last 16 chapters, after the Jews come back into the land, there's going to be an alignment of nations that are going to come against them and try to wipe them off the face of the earth. For about 8 years when he was president of Iran, Ahmadinejad continually said, "We're going to wipe the Jewish people off the face of the earth." And he would talk about their name being forgotten forever. The Ayatollahs, the ones who control the nation of Iran with the Supreme Council, these Ayatollahs who are really the leaders of Iran, those men that are out front as president, they're the face of Iran, but not true leadership. But they said, "We can wipe Israel off the face of the earth in 90 seconds. In fact, when Ahmadinejad was making those radical statements, I looked at Psalm 83, verse 4, where the Lord tells in Psalm 83 through this prophet that indeed nations will come against Israel. They'll have a council meeting. They'll come out of the council meeting, and their statements will be, "We're going to wipe Israel off the face of the earth, that her name be forgotten forever." Folks, as we sit here on the sidelines, as we look towards the region of the Middle East, that's exactly what we see happening. We've talked about Iran on the first program. We emphasize how key Iran is and their development of a nuclear weapon of mass destruction to not only threaten Israel, Saudi Arabia, the Middle East, but the entire world. And the world is watching this come to pass and really not doing anything to deal with Iran. Now, Iran is not the leader of this coalition of nations. They're a major player. Russia is the leader. Magog, chapter 38, verse 2 of the book of Ezekiel. And Gog in the land of Magog. Now, I don't know that we can say who Gog is. That's the personality. The place is Magog. That's Russia. And the Old Testament in Genesis tells us that's the location that Russia is, where they went some 4,000 years ago to develop a family. Then we saw that Turkey was going to come in and form this coalition, be a part of it to come against the Jewish state of Israel. This is all unfolding before our very eyes. Tayyip Erdogan wants to be the pan-Islamic leader of the world. In fact, the other day he said, hey, you've got to reinstate Mohamed Morsi as president of Egypt. So he's formed an alliance with the Muslim Brotherhood. The Muslim Brotherhood, they were the major players standing on the sidelines when Libya and Colonel Gaddafi was taken down, and then they rushed into the vacuum to be the key component in putting that Libyan government back together. When you go over to Syria, the Muslim Brotherhood, they've been the underlying objection to Bashar Assad being president. They've helped form this coalition. You see the Muslim Brotherhood over in Jordan. They're trying to bring down the king of Jordan, King Abdullah, down and put a radical Islamic state right there. You look at all of these nations, they're forming together. The lowest common denominator, they're Muslims. They're of the Islamic world, maybe with the exception of Russia. But you better be studying the demographics of Russia, because they're quickly moving into that place where they're going to have many Muslims, an Islamic population across the world. You have to go into Sudan, Ethiopia, Somalia. You go over to Lebanon in chapter 83 of Psalms. It talks about Tyre. That's modern-day Lebanon. It talks about the Ishmaelites. That's modern-day Saudi Arabia. And you see all of these nations forming this coalition with one common goal: take Israel out of the picture. Wipe them off the face of the earth, that their name be forgotten forever. Isn't that ironic? You got 5 to 6 million Jewish people in this little piece of real estate, less than the size of New Jersey. You have 350 million Muslims around them, and they're wanting to wipe out this little state. God said it was going to happen. We're moving quickly to the time when Israel will lay down their weapons. They'll be defenseless. They'll be living in unwalled cities, a military terminology in chapter 38 there and verse 11. And that's after the Antichrist comes on the scene. He puts in place a so-called peace agreement. It's going to be a pseudo-peace, a false peace, but he'll come to power. And Israel and all of her neighbors will agree to it. Israel lays down their weapons. In comes this alignment to try to wipe them out. Joel chapter 2, verse 3 says, the largest militia ever formed on the face of the earth will come to Jerusalem to try to set up their caliphate, a worldwide kingdom. Islam has an eschatology. It's different, of course, than what the Word of God talks about. But after the rapture that Rennie has so well been talking about, this seven-year period begins, and in the first 6 months, this alignment of nations will come to try to wipe out Israel. That's the greatest evidence, I believe, that we have that we're living in the times of the rapture and then the period of the tribulation.
That is prophecy scholar and prophecy expert Jimmy DeYoung from a couple of years ago, but nonetheless, it pertains to everything that's happening in this Middle East meltdown that's happening today. With this recent attack and escalation of terrorist attacks by Iran against Saudi Arabia, against ships in the Straits of Hormuz, against our drone, they are spreading their tentacles, and they are going to be part of this coalition of nations in the near future, whose supreme goal it is to wipe Israel off the face of the earth. This is the goal of this nation, according to Ezekiel chapter 38. When I think of the new sanctions, I think of my dear Iranian friends that still live in Iran, those that have not become asylum seekers or refugees and have to endure this very difficult time, and my thoughts and prayers are constantly with them. I think about those protesters in the uprising about a year and a half ago that in 70 cities came out to raise their voices against the treatment they've been receiving for 40 years as Iranians. They are looking for a new leader. They are longing for freedom. And longing for the glory days when the Persian Empire flourished under kings who treated the people with tolerance and justice. One such king in the Persian glory days was King Cyrus. He founded Persia by uniting the Iranian tribes of the Medes and the Persians. Although Cyrus, who was known as a great conqueror, according to the Bible as well, was most well known for his tolerance and magnanimous attitude toward those he defeated. When Cyrus conquered Babylon, he was greeted by the grateful cheers of the Jewish community, who welcomed him as a liberator. Cyrus is recognized from the pages of the Bible as being compassionate to the Jews and allowing them to return to their homeland to rebuild their temple. Respect and tolerance were the outstanding qualities of Cyrus, who is credited for creating the first charter of human rights known to mankind. And every October 29th, thousands of Iranians pay respect at his grave, celebrating King Cyrus Day. As I mentioned, Iranians are desperately searching for a leader, a liberator, a king like Cyrus. And although he's not as famous as, of course, the ancient King Cyrus, President Trump has reached out to the Iranian people, recognizing their right to have a free homeland once again. And so this morning on The Cross in the Desert, I've been sharing with you the situation in the Middle East, the coming meltdown that is sure to happen. We are seeing precursors to that coming meltdown. We're seeing power struggles. We're seeing terrorist attacks. We're seeing leaders who are meeting together. What can we do about this situation? What are we going to do about Iran? Saudi Arabia has been attacked by Iran through their drones and missiles. What will we do? As we have learned this morning, the Bible very clearly maps out the future for the coming economic, for the coming meltdown in the Middle East. What you and I can do is be a voice for the Iranian people in this very difficult time. Manush and I have just created a new book cover for our new book that we're writing together. It's called Shout Freedom, The Desperate Cry of Iranians. And this book is going to feature stories from Iranian refugees in their own words. We're going to write a couple of articles as well. And also these stories will feature political prisoners and artists who have suffered under this government. So Shout Freedom, The Desperate Cry of Iranians will be our new book, which should be out January 2020. But this book is an example of being a voice for the Iranian people. And what you can do as a listener is cry out to God for their salvation and freedom every day. We need to be persistent in our prayer. We know that God is the king of the universe, that he is the sovereign king of the universe, that he controls all world events, but he uses our prayers to shape those world events. So we need to be a voice of hope and prayer to the Iranian people. I hope this morning that you have gotten a sense of what's going on in the Middle East and that you will join me and praying for the Iranian people, praying for the dissipation of this regime, that God will overthrow this regime by his sovereign might and bring democracy and freedom to the people of Iran. Please keep them in your prayers as the events keep unfolding before our very eyes every day in the media. God bless you. Have a great week, and I will see you soon on the next Cross in the Desert.
Of his head.